Hello and welcome to everybody listening. This is Balancing the Act, a podcast that focuses on how you manage your job and make sure you travel. In this podcast, you will hear stories from people who were willing to take a leap of faith and believe in their ideas. Each podcast will leave you educated and leave you with a unique life lesson.
Hello and welcome to Balancing the Act. Today I am with Angie D'Souza, a customer retention specialist, a marketing professional and a chef. So she's doing a lot of things in her life. I think we should all listen to her story, and more importantly, she has something interesting to give to us this weekend. So Angie, thank you for, you know, taking out the time and being with us on Balancing the Act. And we are here to listen to you. And the first question would go like, how has life been so challenging to you, and how are you hustling it out there as a marketing chef, I may call it?
Yeah, wow, thanks for that term though, by the way, marketing chef. It's like the first time I've ever heard it. But yeah, I mean, life is all about challenges, and I guess like if there are no challenges in life, then what is life, right? For me, I think the whole hustle game is like, I'm a marketing executive by day and a chef by night. So you can call me Wonder Woman, and probably my kryptonite is time and attention. Because the challenge that I face about that is not being able to give that 100%. So yeah, I think that's that only challenge. But I mean, it's a hustle, so I'm making it work.
So give me a little background into how this all started. How are you like a marketing professional, a chef, and now something to do with customer retention?
Well, it started, say, 7 years ago when I just started. I moved out of catering college. I started working actually at a hotel and then a restaurant. And I did like this 11, 12 hour shift, you know, like the whole, from starting the day with procurement, vegetable, indenting, everything, to ending the day to law. Walking up and doing the finance. So I did like the overall marketing over there as well. And then I realized that, you know what, I had potential, because there were a lot of people who actually came and said, you know what, Angie, your food is so good, you know, so you know what I want, you know what I want. So I had like those repeat customers, and then I realized that I had that potential in me. And I realized that also doing this thing for 14 hours a day and then not having time to myself, and it was just like, you know, something that I felt incomplete. So I gave up my dad job, and I was sitting at home, and my dad was like, you know what, do something, why are you just sitting at home? So I was like, okay, fine. So I applied for like a job in marketing, and I said, let's see how that goes, because I wanted to learn, and I really didn't want to go back to the books. I just came out of it, I don't want to go back to it. So I said, let me just do it like a normal person. Let me apply for a job. And I got in. So when I got in, I actually made like 5 friends in the second day because of my dabba. I never used to get to finish my food because there was other people doing it for me. So my friend from there, Nikhil, who's actually my best friend now, he pursued me and told me, like, go for this. You have to open your own thing. So I was like, fine. And I did it. And I'm like, okay, wait, I have a 9-to-5 job. I can come back and then I can do this in my home and on my own in the evening. So I think it's a win-win. So that's how it started.
So how did you come up with the name Holy Fork? It sounds a little Catholic in nature. Tell me a little more about how you came about the name.
So I was at one point in my life, I said I was going to cut down in the profanity of my communication. And that during that time, I was buying vegetables and I was wearing flip-flops, and there was this rat that came and bit the strap of my flip-flop, and I looked down and I was like, holy fuck. And then I'm like, interesting. So I came back home and I'm like, wait, this phrase is so versatile. It can be for a good part and a bad part. So if my food is like good, people are going to be like, holy fuck, it's so good. And if it was like a bad experience, they're going to be like, oh, holy fuck, this is bad. So I'm like, yeah, let me just keep this name. This name is really nice. And I mean, staying true to my heritage, being very Catholic.
The podcast talks about your travel life as well, and I know that every person who ends up working and doing this hustle and bustle obviously wants to, like, the first aspiration is to go somewhere and do something. So what is your most fun adventure that you've taken up, and what have you enjoyed in the recent past before the pandemic?
So it's interesting that you asked that, because in Feb, right before the lockdown began, I actually went on a very long trip to Vietnam. We actually explored the entire country, and it was the most adventurous, the most epic trip of my life. A, because it was all on my own expense, and B, because Vietnam's currency is so much more lower than India. So we were like millionaires there. So we were like, oh, dollar billion. But it was like the best trip ever. We got to eat, we got to drink. The food was just, I think food was the highlight of our trip. And me being a chef, the flavors, oh, it was so good. I recommend everyone to go to Vietnam at least once in their life.
So what is this millionaire feeling like? And give me a little bit of description of what you did and how that day was so special. And like, if anytime anybody goes there, that is the one place they must visit.
Actually, I'm going to tell you two incidents. So one was on this island called Phu Quoc. It's like 10 hours away from the main, you know, Vietnam island. And we flew there. And you can, it's a small island. You can explore it in 2 days. It's fine. Okay. The north of that island, there's this small beach, a white sand beach called the Starfish Beach. It's like a tourist attraction. It was supposed to be very rare, but then a lot of the whites and a lot of the foreigners, they discovered it, so now it's like a tourist attraction. So you go on that beach, and on the shore, it's filled with these red and black starfish. They're just on the shore, and it was the most beautiful sight ever. And like, I mean, there are a couple of things on that beach. Like, you could go there. There's this floating restaurant there. You can go, you can sit, you can eat, you can chill. The water is calm. There are no waves. You can go for a swim. And only thing you really need to like be careful, be mindful about the starfish, because A, they are very pokey, and B, they kind of very delicate, so they die. And also C, do not lift the starfish out of the water, because also die, they need the water. And that's what they kind of advise people to do before entering that beach. But man, that was so nice. And the second place in Vietnam that I really, really enjoyed is called Nha Trang. It's also really close to Ho Han, the central part of Vietnam. And we went on this, it's called Funky Monkey Day Cruise. So we went there and I got to snorkel and swim. So for me, I have this weird fear, because I'm scared of sharks. I have this fear of swimming in the ocean. I'm okay with swimming in the pool because I can see below, but the ocean is like, okay, I cannot. But I went over there and I swam. Anxiety hit me a little, but it was fine after that. And this drunken monkey cruise boat, yeah, actually, the name says it all. You're drinking, you're dancing, you have the people offering you alcohol. There's food on the cruise, you can swim, you can like do the whole jump in the water and whatever. It's the whole day just out in the ocean, partying. And it was really good. We got to meet so many people, and there were a lot of different nationalities, and it was the best ever.
So this experience is a day experience, and you can do it for how much? Like, is it very reasonable to do? Like, I understand you were millionaires and you had a lot of money, but
yeah.
how reasonable was this?
Well, interesting enough, that was actually the trip we took towards the end of our whole Vietnam trip. So the Indians in us came out. So me and my friends started bargaining with the locals, like, no, make this cheaper. So, okay, I'll tell you, we spent around 1,500 for that entire thing.
So that includes
which
alcohol,
really
and
good.
Food?
It had like food, it had alcohol.
Wow. So because we're talking about alcohol, let me ask you about some alcohol that you get in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Was it a Vietnamese beer? Was it a wine of theirs? What was it that stood out?
Vietnam is like, they are hardcore beer fans. Like, they do not drink whiskey or rum like we do. They drink beer. A lot of beer. In fact, there are streets called the beer streets. So you go down and you have like different breweries, different clubs only selling beer. Number two, they have these local brewed liqueurs that they make in their house, and they put in these little Chinese pots, and it's different. You have like plum flavor, you have apple flavor, and it was amazing because we went up north and it was so cold there, but that kind of heated our systems up, so it was really nice. The beer, the local beer there, so we were in Hanoi, and you get this beer called Hanoi beer that you only get in Hanoi. And when you go to Saigon, which is Ho Chi Minh, you get a beer called Saigon, and it's only available in Saigon. And it's so cool, like really, really cool.
It's so local in its experience, I think.
Really, really local and really nice.
And what about the other thing? I think it did interest me, liqueurs particularly interest me. Can you tell us a little more about the liqueur? How much did you need to have? What was the experience? I understand it is quite heaty, and you know, it is good for the cold. But other than that, is there anything that you felt that it stands out, or this is something that you've never had in India, or you've never thought of it before, you just like had it?
Well, I mean, Goans kind of have, like how Goans have Peni and how East Indians have the Kimat. This is kind of like that. It's just their brewed home made alcohol, because you know it's up north and getting provisions up there and getting beer up there, whatever, is really difficult. So it's like this thing which they make out of their homes, a very local drink to fight the cold, and it's really nice. And what the thing that stood out for me is that they made it out of, because up north is sapa is a rice field, you have this made out of rice. So a lot of that wine is flavored with, say, apple, or it's flavored with dried plums, or any produced fruit that is growing up north. That's what they make their alcohol with, which is really, really good.
Superb. So I think we've got a little bit of wine, dine and everything. Now I want to know, from everybody who comes on the podcast, I learn their lesson on life. So what is Angie's life lesson, and what do you think is something that you have truly learned in whatever you've lived? It can be a very small learning, but every day, like if you learn a little, you learn a lot after some years.
I think my whole entire overall life lesson is try everything in life. Do not chicken out. Like literally try everything in life. You have to have an experience of everything at least once in your lifetime, but don't make it a habit. Because, I mean, you don't really want that label on your life, right? But you want that experience of it, so you should try it. And number two is, if like people want to start their own thing or their own business, or their little, want to kind of make money out of, you know, their hobbies, I think what they should do is they should always have a plan B, like a backup, financial backup structure in place, that if you want to take that one step, you got to be prepared for a failure of it, because it's a risk. And you have that little financial backup to fall back on, you know. So that is my lesson number two. So two lessons, my life lessons.
Superb. So I think we have your two lessons. Now we want your two bits on what this giveaway is going to be about, why this giveaway is going to be out, and more importantly, when are you going to get the gifts, and who it's applicable to? I think, okay, I asked you too many questions, but you can go one by one.
Okay, you asked me five questions, which is the theme of it. So the Holy Fork, my labor of love, is going to be turning five on 19th of this month. And we are having a contest for five lucky winners. So what they have to do is, we have this hamper. This hamper is filled with a lot of brands. The three simple rules. Okay, follow the brands in the hamper. You know, number two is tag five friends, and number three is just repost the announcement post on their story and tag us. And there are a lot of brands, you know, there is like Chutney Collective, there's Rame, they make like handmade coasters, there's Fab Shield Mask, there's Rangi Masses, there's the Gourmet Jar, there's a lot that's happening in that hamper. So I guess people really should participate. I think they should.
Superb. So I think congratulations for you on your 5 years, and thank you for, you know, taking
thank
the time
you.
Out, speaking to Balancing the Act. And I hope you guys from the listeners.
Thank you for having me.
The listeners will definitely do their bit. Our community, a travel community. I don't know how many people of them live in Bombay, but this is applicable to people only in Bombay. So let me put that out there as well. So life lessons are learned.
Yes,
the hustle is learned.
Yes,
and you know, this is what we do. And thank you so much. Bye-bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Backpacker Me. Instagram handle @BackpackerMe. Follow, share.